You are listening to the Obeka's Thoughts. This podcast has been brought to you by the Obeka Realty. My name is Adeola, and I am your host. My thoughts, your podcast. Welcome aboard. Hello, thank you so much for joining the Obeka's Thoughts. I'm excited you are with me again today, listening to my, thought on every topic. Let's dig straight into it. Please forgive my voice if it's not too clear. I'm just getting over a cold. You know how it can be. It's been a minute. I really tried not to record this week, but I couldn't help it. Something came up and I'll let you know in a moment. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Obeka's Thoughts. So I'll try to keep it short as always, but if I do not, please enjoy. I try my best, but hey, I can help it sometimes. I cannot. So let's go straight into the topic for today. I'm still the way I am about religion and culture and Africans. This is just giving you a perfect example. I don't even know what I'm going to call this topic yet. Maybe by the time I'm done, I'm going to be able to have a, good name for this episode, but in the meantime, let's just leave it blank. So, what is the backstory? There's this gospel artist. She has an angelic voice, and she has just been murdered by her husband. That I cannot call it anything else but murder. I'm not really sure about how long her marriage was for, but I believe it's been probably between 12 and 15 years. I'm not so certain because, I don't really give much to the news. I just think about things, reflecting on them, and come back to tell you what I think about whatever it was I was thinking about, if that makes sense. Anyways, so her name is Osinachi, and if you look that up on YouTube, her voice is beautiful, right? So just this past week, it came up in the news that she passed away, and initially everybody thought, oh, she had throat cancer. And there were non-believers talking about, God, why would you let the woman that's worshipping with her voice have throat cancer? Then the news was debunked the very next day that she did not have throat cancer. Her husband actually beat her, kicked her in the chest, and she had blood clots and ended up passing away. May her soul rest in peace. Now, why am I talking about this today? It's because it's a common trend every single quarter. We always hear about some woman being murdered by their husband because what do you want to call it? Yes, it's domestic violence that ended up in someone's death, but it doesn't change the fact that it's some sort of degree murder, okay? First degree, second degree, I'm not really sure. I'm not studying law yet, but it's murder. That's what I'm going to call it, right? And when she passed away, of course, a lot of people came out that knew her personally. We're talking about her husband has been beating her blue black, and they tried to tell her to leave the marriage, but she would not leave the marriage. And of course, the pastors in church knows about it. A lot of times, I don't want to make this episode too long, but if you looked up her story, a lot of testimonies has come out pertaining how her husband has been treating her up to the point where she eventually passed away, right? Fortunately, the husband has now been arrested. Unfortunately, now she has kids that she's not there to take care of, and neither is her husband to take care of her kids because he's in jail and she's dead. And I believe I have mentioned this before in a previous episode, and I'm doing it again. A man that yells at you at any point in your relationship will still end up beating you. If he doesn't beat you to death, you're one of the lucky ones. But most likely, if he resents you so much, he will most likely beat you to death someday. So yes, you can forgive and forgive and forgive. It's up to you. But let me tell you, there's a possibility that one day you will go to the hospital and not come back, because the damage is just that much. And what makes this woman's story so peculiar? Why is everyone talking about it? Everyone is talking about it because her pastors were aware that she was being beaten. In fact, many people came out to talk about how the pastors knew their mothers were being beaten, by their fathers and did absolutely nothing about it. In some cases, they were asked to go back home and pray, and it's going to go away. Pastor's wife that were supposed to support these women are saying, oh, even my husband too gets temperamental. It will go away. Don't worry, my sister. It is well with you. Let us pray for you. It is demon. It is this. It is that. All these people address the woman, but never address the man's behavior, right? And somehow, they always have a way of wording Bible passages to, you know, suit whatever it is they're trying to pass across. And I've always said, culture and religion will be the death of black people. I still stand on that. I'm going to go ahead and explain myself, because I don't want you to just start thinking as I'm speaking, I'm not even in depth yet. But let me just tell you the reason why I say what I have often said. Unfortunately, a lot of women are gone and they're never going to come back again. Domestic violence has different levels to it, right? But the worst of it is the one that could actually take your life. Either makes you take your own life, or they just kill you. And talking about, if you hear anyone breathing, that's my baby. I'm holding my baby in my back right now because this is the only way I can record. But anyways, where was I? The issue is, these women always run to church. They go everywhere else but where they need help. A lot of times when they go to the police station or they go to the pastor, the first question they're asked is, what did you do? Should a woman's offense, is it, let me put it this way, is it ever okay to beat a woman? Worst of all, the one you are married to and has children for you. It's as though many men do not understand the sacrifice that comes with being the woman of the house. They just see a woman that might or might not be working, or everything she does is domestic, right? They think it's not much of a big deal. And a lot of times, the men that end up hurting their women this bad are the ones that have successful wives and they don't have anything going on for them. So they have built a level of resentment for their women over time, and it just gets worse with time. And it's always these women that are either very, you know, very passionate about God, or they're just from really good homes and they feel it's a shame to go back home and say, I'm no longer interested in my marriage. In fact, some pastors will tell you that there's no divorce in the Bible. See, let me be honest with you. The Old Testament alone has 613 commandments, right? New Testament has over 1,000 commandments. But do you know what's funny? The funny thing is, of all the commandments that is there, pastors and husband, they will pick the laws that addresses the other person, but never address their own behavior. Okay? They are holding you to a standard of the Bible that was in the Bible, supporting their claim with Bible passages. But like I always say, they only take a phrase of it and forget the entire sentence. Now, let's get deep into it and see what I'm really talking about. So, one of the common laws you are going to hear is, women submit to your men. It's in the Bible, right? I'm sure everyone has heard that. But did you also know that the same Bible said, men, love your women? Did you know that Ephesians 5:25-33 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her? You can read the rest of it on your own. How many of these men are actually giving themselves up for this woman? I know you're not doing it, because if you were doing it, when she cries, her tears are supposed to break your heart. If she cries about anything, you're supposed to feel pained. Pained when she's not happy. Now, I cannot imagine how you were supposed to feel when you caused the pain. It's because you didn't really understand the assignment. You didn't understand that for her to submit, you have to love first. I'll be with you shortly. I'm just taking a short breath. This is good. A lot of men do not understand the assignment, and a lot of women do not understand the assignment. I have mentioned before that people plan for a wedding, but not the marriage. They bring all these different teams together, the wedding planner, the DJ, the MC, they bring in flower arrangements, they bring in chefs and all of that. But a lot of people do not bring therapists into their marriage. They don't do it before, and when they start having problems, then they want to do it. They want to have a therapy. By that time, it's often too late. It takes the grace of God to save your marriage through therapy after you had started it without. A lot of people do not know what to expect when going into marriage. So therefore, they don't prepare for anything prior into going into it. And they just go, oh, God told me this is my partner. I prayed about it, and that's just about it. In marriage, God said, when he created Adam, he said, your wife going to be the bone of your bones, flesh of your flesh. That's how she was made. You're supposed to become one entity. But we have men beating their women. I don't know which ratio is higher. I want to believe men are beating their wives more than wives are beating men, because men are genetically stronger than women. I'm talking about physical strength now. Physical strength. So, a lot of men are able to beat their women. And let me focus on Africa, because I don't often hear a situation whereby a Caucasian gets abused by her husband and the pastor tells her to go and pray about it. What I hear is there's physical assault going on. The man and the woman get a divorce, or the woman stays and she gets killed. She's not staying because the pastor asked her to. She's staying for other reasons. Maybe her children, maybe she doesn't have anywhere to go. This is Caucasians. But oftentimes, I have seen pastors, other religious leaders, and traditional leaders, and even government officials backing their argument to tradition, asking the woman to stay in the marriage. I'm not kidding you. I saw a particular post. The woman had gone live, her face was bleeding and all of that, and she talked about her husband. I think he was a TV presenter or something like that, a journalist. He had beaten her blue black, and she was pregnant. She had lost some pregnancy, whatever, right? To my greatest shock, the governor of her state in Nigeria invited both of them to mediate, and they settled the issue. They settled. Imagine inviting a governor to mediate your situation. Not a therapist. Inviting the law. You're not inviting a lawyer or judge. You're using a governor. So, of course, the publicity killed the case, because now the governor of a state is like a celebrity, whatever, whatever. But now let's go back to Miss Osinachi. Mrs. She died a Mrs. The reason why her death was really painful was because a lot of people knew about it and didn't say anything about it, to the point that certain people are now saying that, in fact, the man holds Osinachi down for her children to beat her boys. He told them that it's normal to beat a woman. The children told someone else that brought it to social media. why are religious leaders always doing this? And honestly, it's not only about domestic violence. They do it all the time. The same Bible that you are quoting to me, that the Bible said, submit to your husband. The same Bible said, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Why are you holding just the woman? You're holding her accountable for the success of and the longevity of the marriage. When there's two people involved, they both have the assignment to make the marriage work. Two people are required to make this thing work, but you're giving the assignment to one. Let me give you another example of children, obey your parents. Did you know that Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath? I'm sure you rarely hear that, but you hear children, obey your parents, or spare the rod and spoil the child. There's 613 laws, commandments in the Old Testament. There's 1,000 more in New Testament. And Jesus said he has come to uphold the law. He has not come to erase it. I didn't go to pastoral college, but it's in plain English. So I think, I want to believe I understood that right. But all these people would conveniently hold on to the little portion that supports the argument. And women are allowing them. That is the part I do not understand. Even though the Bible says for women to submit to their husbands, it doesn't negate the fact that the women have roles. The fact that the man is the head, the woman is the neck. Can you move your head without your neck? Can your head even stand without your neck? I know that you still need your neck every single day. Everybody has their roles and assignment in marriages, but no, the man decides everything. Isn't that black people interpret things differently on purpose? Because I'm beginning to have a lot of questions. And then when people are going to give testimonies about Mrs. Osinachi's marriage, they said they asked her to leave. But she kept saying, oh, he's going to change. Well, now she's dead. How do people not value their own lives? The thing is, people often confuse obedience with submission. They are demanding obedience under the disguise of submission. If you look at the dictionary meaning of obedience, it means following orders and commands and instruction. It's non-negotiable. You don't ask questions, you just do. If a police pulls you over in traffic, you don't ask questions. Give me your ID. You're giving it to them. What is your name? You're answering the questions. Step out of the car. You're obeying. You don't have a choice. Submission is you agreeing to do something because of how you feel for that person. So it's not just about the office that they hold. It's everything encompassing. Submission is yielding to power or authority, meaning you have a choice to not yield, but you yield because of the person. So you don't just yield to, because my husband is earning this amount of money, I'll submit to him. Even when he's not earning that money, you still submit. That's the reason why you'll find a lot of families where the husband is barely, he has like menial jobs. The wife is probably a nurse or something like that. And she submits just as if he is the breadwinner, even though they are the breadwinner. What I just said is really common among Mexicans and Asians. You would think the man is the breadwinner, but the wife is. But they would treat him and submit to him as though he's bringing in the biggest chunk of the money. But when it comes to black, they would demand obedience. They would demand obedience, call it submission, and give absolutely nothing in return. If you look at the Bible verse where, God was telling us, Love does not lie. Love does not hurt. Love forgives. Love is patient. Love is kind. All that stuff, right? He kept saying love, 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 love. Love does not do this. Love is not easily angered. Love is this. Love is this, right? All those commandments was attached to love. Then he told the man, love your wife. Meaning that you have to do all of these things. So instead of me repeating all of these things in layers, if you love your wife, you'll do everything that is connected to the word love itself. But no. If you only remind the woman that she needs to submit, and you don't remind the man that he needs to love, don't you think that is being purposely being biased and causing the woman pain and anguish? The man has the bigger role to play, which is love and everything that comes with it. The wife has submission because she is loved. You plant love as a seed, and the reward you get is a submissive woman. So a lot of times people think, oh, submission has to do with, they'll say some women cannot submit because they are the breadwinner, they are the higher earners. That's not true. If you're not giving a woman a reason to submit, she would not submit to you. Like I said, she's submitting to you as a person, not just the authority that you hold. Obedience is only about authority, only about the office you hold. If a police officer pulls me over in uniform, I will obey. But if the same police officer talks to me outside of the uniform, oh, I'm ignoring him. Because all that I respect is the uniform. But with submission, with or without a uniform, the way I feel about you doesn't change. The way I treat you will not change. I want to believe I'm making sense to someone out there. Why is it that we just conveniently allow all these things to go? If we have access to the Bible, you should be able to support your own argument too. When a pastor tells you, submit, ask them, so what does my husband do? Is he head of the family? No, that's not what I asked you. When I submit, what is he supposed to do? If the pastor does not have the right answer I just gave you right now, which is he has to love you like Christ loves the church and follow all the laws and commandments that comes with the word love itself, then you will know that the pastor is not for you. The pastor is against you. Any pastor that overlooks your pain, overlooks all that you're going through, and still makes you feel like, oh yeah, someone is doing you a favor by marrying you. Oh, what will people say? Well, when you die, people are still going to talk. And when they're done talking about you, you will remain dead and they are going to continue talking about other things. Oh, I'm staying for my kids. When you die, your kids are going to be alive with no one to take care of them like you would have. Isn't it better for you to stay alive and take care of your kids from any location outside of the marriage? Then you stay in the marriage and you may not even wake up tomorrow. I cannot begin to mention and go into gory details as to how men have killed their wives, especially in Africa. I'm bringing religion back. Do you know about the Sharia laws? A woman and a man fornicate, the woman gets stoned to death. Man goes scot-free. So when I'm talking about religion, I'm not only talking about Christianity, I'm talking about every single thing. Why would a man and a woman fornicate and only the woman gets punished? There are a lot of questions we should be asking, and you as a woman, you should look out for yourself, because if a man that swears to love you has not fulfilled that part, and you seek help and you feel like this help is not working, pray about it, fast about it. A man like that will raise another man, is going to raise his son to also beat his wife. So a man that starts by yelling at you is going to beat you before the end of the same year. Mark my words. Because when a man yells at you and you allow it, he will test you again with more yelling. you allow it. If a man cannot talk to you respectfully and have an argument without using derogatory words, without breaking things, that man is not for you. I don't care if you're already in a marriage or not. Even though you should have realized these things prior to marrying them, but for some reason they're able to, you know, intelligently hide their bad attributes, no problem. You can still go on and remove yourself from that marriage before it hurts you. Because when you're no more, you have lost your life, wasted your whole existence, and your kids are still going to suffer in the long run. A man that yells at you will beat you before the end of the year. I'm not kidding. There is no way. No way a pastor will tell you, my sister, continue praying. Don't worry, I'll talk to him. And the man still comes back to beat you. Don't go back to the pastor next time. Go to a therapist or get yourself a lawyer. A therapist will tell you to leave. Because there are some toxic traits in people. There is no helping them. Not unless they have decided to help themselves, there is no helping them. So if you cannot help them change because they have decided to be who they want to be, what makes you think that praying is just going to erase everything? Because your children are growing up to see these things that is going on in your home. And they think it's okay you normalize violence in your own home, in your family. How do you normalize violence and you think you're helping your children by staying? I don't understand why you would let a pastor or a traditional leader, whoever it is, they call themselves head of the family, whatever, talk you into staying when you are the one feeling the pains. The same man that swore an oath to protect you, love you, provide for you, he said, to death do you part. Even if this, if your vow says to death do you part, do you think it involves you dying in that marriage? When the Bible, when your marriage oath says to death do us part, it means that you will age together. But when the man has beaten you to death, he will marry somebody else. It's easier for a man to remarry than it is for a woman to remarry. So don't you think it's wiser for you to pack up your kids and just leave? I'm getting really emotional right now, and I'm thinking, at what point did we get here? And then there are women out there making it seem like it's okay to be beaten. Like, who broke these people? Do you think it's impossible to have a husband that doesn't beat you? Your pain should be his pain. Look at Will Smith losing his mind because his wife felt pain of a joke that was being told about her baldness. He went about it the wrong way, but at least he did something. Your man is supposed to be your protector. So when they are fortunate to find women that are providing, taking up the manly roles, and all they have to do is just nurture these women, they end up killing them in the most brutal way you can imagine. Let me calm down. I'll be right back. After all has been said and done, I just had to go calm down because I was beginning to get passionate, and when I get passionate, I tend to speak really fast. After all has been said and done, someone's daughter, someone's sister is no more. Someone's children will be raised by other people. And no one is going to raise your children or your child like you would have. And at the end of the day, it will have all been for nothing. A lot of men with insecurity issues, complex issues, and you know, they take their wives' lives prematurely. If you're in a country like Nigeria, mostly nothing was going to come out of it unless it's really a case that went viral. In other countries, yes, they do get prosecuted. But no, there's no amount of judgment or punishment that is enough for taking someone's life. Before you go back to that marriage, where that man has caused you to break a couple of bones, lost some pregnancies, and deformed your face a few times, caused you organ failure, before you take him back, because you're over there thinking, oh, of the stigmatization that comes with being divorced or being separated, if you worry about these things because you're alive. When you die, when this man kills you, it's not going to be a bone of contention anymore. You have to think about that. The reason you're staying will not matter after you're dead. I can go into give different examples of how men have brutally taken the lives of their wives. Women that they sought to protect. Women that protected them by being their breadwinner. I don't want to make this too, you know, sensitive for many people. But if you know anyone out there, don't tell us their stories after they are dead. Don't go on social media and say, I told them so. I want them. Save them by sharing their stories while they are alive. Let social media help you. Social media is a very sensitive tool, yet it has helped a lot of people. It has solved a lot of cases. It has protected a lot of women in marriages like this. Don't say, oh, she told me not to tell anybody. Don't be that person. Tell everybody, save their life, because when you're saving the woman's life, you're saving her children's lives too. They're going to grow up with their mom, because the father that is beating the woman, the wife in front of the children, doesn't care for the mental health of the children. So when you're saving the mother, you're saving the children too. I'm begging you, if you are a man of God, speak the truth. Yes, you're going to lose offering, tithe and offering from that one man. But remember, you could have daughters too. If you're beating your wife, God is going to handle you. Any man out there, be it pastor or whatever, religious leader, I don't care. God is going to handle you. That's all I'm going to say. But you still have to refrain from it regardless. Save someone else's child's life. Every woman you marry was birthed by someone else. Don't let mothers cry over their daughters because they sent them to marry you. Leave them alone. Leave these women alone. If you're tired of the marriage, let it go. It's bad enough that you're taking their money, you're taking the cars that belong to them, you're taking the house that belongs to them that you have not worked for. You don't have to take their lives too. I am pleading. If there's any woman out there that is listening to me and you're going through domestic violence, it's not worth it. If you have any sister, any friend that's going through domestic violence, save their lives. At least for your own peace of mind. Now, all those people that knew about the domestic violence and did not say anything because she asked you not to say anything. She asked you, oh, it's her marriage, stay out of it. How do you feel now that these people are dead? How? And their death is always so brutal. How? They suffer on earth for nothing. Their lives cut short for nothing. Please, I'm pleading with everyone out there. Save yourself. Run. If these churches are not going to help you, the churches you're paying tithe and offering for, you're paying tithe and offering to, God will not come down to save your marriage. He already gave you the brain to use it and save yourself. He's not going to change the heart of your husband, because God is not the one that tampers with our hearts just like that. We have to give him permission for him to work on our hearts. So if you are married to men that has refused to give their hearts to Christ and let God use them as a tool for good things, for positivity, for growth, for, you know, for beauty, if they have refused to let God use them, you use your own brain, pack up your bag and run. Before I came to record this episode, I just read, I belong to, you know, a San Diego group where it's called Mommies and Nannies. Someone just posted that she's going to post this anonymously. She's packing up her 4 children and she wants to leave the house before her husband comes back from work today. When I saw that post, I just saw it a few minutes ago, but she had posted it 14 hours ago. She had a friend that had a truck that was going to help her pack up her children. She's living with just one purse. Do you know how she was able to get a phone to, you know, contact her friend to come and help her leave her husband's house? Her mother was able to sneak a phone in to this woman's home. So, I do not know the details of this woman's marriage, but this is what happened today, I'm telling you guys, right? So, she said her mother had snuck in a phone that her husband could not track, and her husband does not even know that she has, right? So she anonymously posted on the group, and this is a group that even though it has like 10,000 women on there, right? Usually looking for, you know, motherly support and things like that, and they usually just respond 20 comments, 30 comments. This woman posted that all she's going with is her purse. She's taking her 4 children with her. She has not even told us her location, but she said she will let us know when she gets to her destination. She will need clothes for her kids. She will need, you know, she will need food. She will need all of that. She has a lawyer she's going to hire. I'm suspecting it's a case of domestic violence for her to, you know, get to the point where my husband is going to work tomorrow and I'm taking my kids and I'm leaving. 4 children. It's not going to be easy for her to start all over again. But at least she stands a chance at surviving because she's alive. Dead people don't fight. She can fight through the court. She can fight with restraining order, use the police. She can fight. But she's leaving. She's not just staying there and say, oh, I already have 4 kids. Let me just stay. So back to the story, right? By the time I saw the post, she had posted about 10 hours before, right? 240 comments. They were like, we can't send you baby clothes. We are going to Venmo you. They were sending her money. She's giving us her location. She's telling us, I'm at the gas station right now. I'm buying food for my children at McDonald's. I'll update you guys in a couple of hours. It looks as though it's a series going on there because she's going back to update and update and update, right? It breaks my heart that a marriage that must have started with a lot of promises and optimism and all of that had to end with her escaping with her 4 children. But the good thing is that she found herself a community of strangers. 10,000 women on that group. She posted anonymously. It was a long shot. You know, usually it takes a while for admin to approve a post, but it was so timely that she got lucky, and her story was so touching. She said, right now as I'm typing with you guys, I am shaking, I'm afraid, but I know I'm doing it. Women, run. If you need support with strangers, find support. I have a group chat I have created for women that might be needing a stranger's support. It's not big. It's just something little. But I have a group chat serving the same purpose. It was created not too long ago. because my mind just told me there are people out there that cannot talk to their family and friends because they will not understand. They are afraid of being judged. They are afraid of being shamed for a failing marriage, of forgetting a divorce. They are afraid of what people would say. How about you come talk to us, a group of strangers that will not judge you? We are going to support you. It's a WhatsApp group filled with women that are willing and ready to hear you out and offer any kind of assistance that we are able to offer. But do not just sit there and hope one day it will go away. Yes, sometimes men they grew up in such homes where they don't know better. But by themselves, they have to come to the realization that they need to change. It's not something you can help them with. It's not something your tears can help them with. If you know you have children, think about your children. Don't forget you're someone's child. You deserve a right to live. Do not let any man cut your life short. And this man might or might not go to jail, but definitely, regardless of when he comes out, he's going to remarry. The same way for any man out there that has a toxic wife, a wife that if you know that you're coming back from work, you'll have to skip in a beat as soon as you touch the doorknob. Run for your life so that you can live to tell the story. In my case, I was mistakenly, in quote, punched in the eye. That was the day I knew I was not going to marry that guy, because you have yelled at me many times. Now you have mistakenly punched me in the eye. And the next time you're going to be breaking my bones. And I am not trying to go through all that pain. I'm already in pain as a woman. I have to go through my period. I have to go through my childbirth. I have to go through pregnancy. I have to go through a lot of things. I still have, I still have menopause waiting for me in the future. But here I am trying to deal with you, trying to survive before I still hit menopause and go through a different level of torture. Women, you deserve life. Men, please let us have it. But if you're not going to let us have it, we are going to leave. And we are not going to wait for you to talk us out of it. Do not let any man talk you out of it. Remember, you could die and he will be alive for sure. Don't stay for the kids. I've said this before and I'm saying it again. My heart goes out to any woman that is going through domestic violence right now. Please seek help. I am here to help you. There are many other support groups out there that are available to help you. Just speak. You might not have the physical strength to fight a man, but you can fight with your tongue. If you cannot go on social media yourself, ask a neighbor to do it for you. Let your story get out. The more people hear about it, the more help is going to come your way. You are not going to get any help by being inside the house and just waiting for it to go away. It will not go away. If you go online, you'll see how many women were killed by their husbands this year. This year alone, that we are still in the month of April, you would know and you will see. Research it. If the signs are always there, if it starts with don't talk to this friend, don't talk to your cousin, if your relationship or your marriage is staring towards the point where it's beginning to cut you off people, it's because it's about to get bad. Please, I'm begging you, stay alive to tell the story. Stay alive to raise your children. Do not let other people raise them for you. They will not raise them as good as you would raise them. On that note, I say thank you so much for listening to the Rebecca Studs. I'll be with you next time and have a good evening. Bye-bye now. Hope you like this episode. There is more randomness to come. Do not forget to share this channel. Thank you. And until next time, goodbye.